Praise the Lord. Well, it's been a while since I've gotten back to Jesus. We've been teaching a series on Jesus for several weeks. And in between, we had Father's Day and 4th of July, so we kind of had to divert a little bit. But remember the sermons we were teaching about Jesus saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me." And that anointing was to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. And that's what the message of Christ is all about. And we got to see pictures of Him in His early ministry and how He reached out to the down and the downtrodden, the off-scouring, and He reached out to those who were sick and afflicted. That was His ministry, reaching out to them. And then we saw Him then on one occasion start to teach. Now, you know, I never got the idea that when Jesus did any teaching, He was walking the backs of the pews. I'm kind of a demonstrative type fellow. I have a note up here giving me my "watch your hands." Y'all been wondering why I've been coming down here? Eric thought I put it there for him. But Jesus, when He taught, He just simply spoke the word. A lot of times, or sometimes, the Bible says He sat down and taught His disciples. How many of you believe that when Jesus taught something, you better pay attention to it? You think He meant it? Now, I know there's some sermons that I preach, you walk out of here and say, "Well, that's just Brother Lay." But let me tell you, when Jesus opened His mouth, and when He taught on a particular subject, it was important. And today is a little bit like that. I don't know that I have ever preached a sermon on this particular subject in 55 years of preaching. I don't know that I've ever preached on this particular subject. But Jesus did. He included it in His Sermon on the Mount. He preached about subjects, hard subjects to preach about. But they came from His heart. He preached on anger. He preached on adultery. He preached on marriage. He preached on divorce. Those aren't really shouting sermons, are they? They're sermons that deal with human life and how God views and how He wants us to walk our lives and live our lives on this earth. And this morning, I'm going to touch on this subject that He taught on, oaths. O-A-T-H-S. Text is found in Matthew 5:33-37. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." Now, I know for a fact that Sister Phyllis back here colors some of you ladies' hair. But they have to come and back and get it done again, don't they? Why? Because at the root, it's white or gray. You can't change what's down in the root.
Or what's not in the root.
Amen, Brother Al. So, nor swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Lord Jesus, we are but human flesh. And we are about to launch into divine thinking, divine word, your word. And oh Lord, this human lips and human spirit needs to be touched by the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be able to give forth your thoughts and your words to those who are hungry to seek and work for you and live as a vessel prepared for you in this world. I pray it humbly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Six types of swearing. Number one, there is swearing by oaths. What then does Jesus mean by saying, swear not at all? Simply that a man's word should be trustworthy in his day-to-day speech. You should be able to believe somebody when they tell you something. Amen?
Amen.
So trustworthy that no oath is ever necessary. The character of an individual should be his guarantee, the only guarantee that he ever needs. Secondly, men are evil. Anybody run into anybody that's... Men are evil, so untrustworthy in their day-to-day dealings that worldly men require oaths. I want you to swear by that. However, the believer's word, you and I, our word and character should be our bond. If I tell you something, you should be able to believe it. You should know it's the truth. And you should be able to do business with me because. But the world we live in today. Amen? The second type of swearing is habitual or frivolous swearing. The unrighteous are said to have, according to Paul in Romans, mouths full of cursing and bitterness. Ever bumped into somebody like that? Every word out of their mouth. Just cursing, swearing. Bitterness coming forth. Third type is hypocritical swearing. There are some who bless God in one breath, turn around and curse men in the other. They'll come to church on a Sunday morning and say, praise the Lord. Go out on a Sunday afternoon and somebody cuts them off in traffic, you... Blah, 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 blah. Then there's that silent, universal swearing. Every man is charged with secretly cursing others within his heart. Listen to what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes. Thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself has cursed others. Don't say it out loud. There's been a time or two somebody looked at me and I said, "What'd you say?" You know what they said in their heart. And so that's a type of swearing. And then there's that evasive swearing. Every man is charged with secretly. Some do not use words that are foul, they're dirty, ugly, harsh, or binding. They never use the name of God in vain, but they choose a substitute word. Words that are commonly used in everyday conversations. Words that are never considered swearing. Others choose what are thought to be milder curse words. Evading harsh swearing, evading words that are not so binding, but they count themselves less guilty. It includes the S word and the C word. No. OS. Or just simply another bathroom word. One fellow said, he used to go out and slam the screen door. He said, "That's screen door cussing." You're angry. You're making a statement. Bang! So we can even use substitutes for curse words. Then there, last of all, is that ego swearing. Many swear to boost their ego, their manliness around others. They feel an identity with the crowd by crossing over the forbidden threshold. It makes me a man to be able to say those words. It takes more of a man to have grace in his words. So, the law was based on the third commandment in Exodus 27. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord, listen, will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Do we understand that? In Leviticus 19, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 23, "That which is gone out of your lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as you have vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with your mouth." So if you make a statement, "I will do so and so," you are bound to keep that by your word. The law had been interpreted to say, do not make false vows. Do not swear falsely. Do not swear to a lie. How many of you have ever been to a courtroom? I've sat in the courtroom and watched people lie on the stand, even after they put their hand on the Bible and made an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I've been on the stand several times down through my life, and every time I say to the person that is about to give the oath, "I affirm that what I tell you is the truth. I will not put my hand on the Bible. I will not raise my hand to God. I'm telling you with my mouth that I will speak the truth. And they have to accept that. I want you to note two specific things about the law. God gave the law to men for several reasons. There was a reason why God set this down. Number one, to keep from dishonoring God by falsely calling upon His name and by cursing Him. To keep man from perjuring himself, showing himself to be a liar and an unjust and unstable person. That's why God, because men had become wicked, men had become evil. And He did so to keep man from treating others unjustly. If I'm doing business for you, I want to treat you right and I want you to treat me right. So God gave this law for those purposes. The law was given to govern several things. Lying and then swearing that one is telling the truth. I used to pastor a man, and Lord help me, I had to turn him out of the church. And I was having church in his house. Starting a church, and we had church in his house. And you couldn't believe a word that man said. Oh yeah, I was out helping the state troopers and the state police, and the whole time he was out some tavern running some woman. And I find it out. I didn't go around looking for her. God didn't call me to be Dick Tracy. But there's a word in the Bible that says, be sure your sins will find you out. Can't hide them. Lying and then swearing that one is telling the truth. That's perjury. How often men perjure themselves, stretching the truth, exaggerating or lying outrightly. State overseer called one of his preachers in one day. It came to his attention that this preacher, somebody from the church, called the state overseer up and said he exaggerates all the time when he's preaching. And the state overseer called him in to talk to him about this. And yeah, the preacher said, oh, I'm so sorry, brother. I have shed barrels and barrels and barrels of tears over this. To say something that's not right, that's not true, that's not genuine. God has given these to keep us from doing these things.
Do you think that their lines should say people instead of just men, or are we a special group that doesn't
exist? Boy, there's always one in the crowd that thinks, because I'm a lady. No, it's everybody. Mankind is mankind, male and female. Now, it doesn't include shims and hymns, her, or whatever, shims.
Not thinking of her in
events, of course. No. Yes. Straighten that out right now. See, we're all susceptible, aren't we? God wants us to be truthful and honest people, not have to swear by anything. Profanity. The real meaning of the law is this: swear not at all. Is that what Jesus said?
Yeah.
Swear not at all. Curse not at all. Do not swear or curse by anything. Don't swear by heaven. It's God's throne, the place where His glory is manifested. To swear by heaven or to curse heaven is to swear by God and to curse God. Same thing to swear by the earth, God's footstool, Jesus said. You are cursing God and swearing at God, using God to cover up what you're saying. Not necessary. Jerusalem, the same thing. I believe that God is definitely concerned about every city in the entire world. But Jerusalem is His place of eternal abode for the heavenly city. Amen?
Amen.
Swear not, because all power belongs to whom? God. In reality, no man has the power to do anything. For example, he cannot change his stature. I heard of a policeman one time. He was just about a half inch shy of being tall enough to join the police force. He had his wife hit him with a ball bat. Put a knot on his head so be a half inch taller. We can't change who we are and what we are, so we do not have the power. That power is given to God. The power man thinks he has can be taken away at any moment. Therefore, he really does not have the power to keep those. Doesn't have the power if he doesn't tell the truth to be able to keep up with it. He can be disabled or snatched away at a moment. The recognition of this reality should cause a man to live on so honestly and straightforwardly that his word alone is acceptable. Believe me. Trust me. The way I live, the way I honor my life, the way I live my life speaks volumes as to whether or not I can be believed and trusted. Oaths and vows should never be necessary. Cursing has no mask. It cannot be hidden. It's out in the open. It's spoken. It's heard. The problem is that it is often acceptable conversation, and cursing is a problem, for it reveals several things about an individual. A graceless heart, a problem with self-image, a thoughtless mind, an inconsiderate and selfish spirit, a lack of individuality and or independence, a hardness or enmity toward God, a foolish regard for judgment and eternity. Profanity is accepted, sorry to say, in our society. People who curse and use foul words seldom think about the seriousness of profanity. They even use the place that God has prepared for sinful people to spend eternity. The place that the Bible calls hell. They turn it around and use it in a profane way. I walked into a little country store some years ago. There's a salesman talking to the clerk, the owner of the store. And just as I walked in the door behind him, he used the word hell. Only in a profane manner. And I was standing right behind him and I said, that's where we're all going if we don't change our ways of living, isn't it? He closed that cell in a hurry. He was out the door. Do you see what I'm getting at? You understand what I'm saying? Serious. It's a very serious offense. No matter how little the cursing is considered, God says He will not hold him guiltless. Anybody here ever had your mother wash your mouth out with soap? No? Or a slap on the jaw. I don't want to ever hear you using those kind of words again, boy. Huh? God is saying that. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. There is only one ideal oath and guarantee for man. That's His Word. The Word. His Word. His Word should rise from His character. It should be the only oath, guarantee He needs. He should be able to say no more than yes, I will, or no, I will not. Jesus said anything else comes of evil. Hello? His life should be so honest and straight that no one would ever question His Word. When He speaks, everyone should know that it is will be done. The reason is simply stated, swearing has its source where? In evil. That's where it comes from. Something that is often overlooked is the fact swearing and cursing do not make a matter more believable. They really make things more suspicious. Somebody gets hot. Somebody begins to use words that they shouldn't be using. What's going on? Person swears something because his character or the matter is questionable. What an indictment of depravity. Yet swearing and cursing are the acceptable habits of men. It gets so bad in some people's life, they don't even know what they sound like. And if you stopped them, if you recorded them, and played it back to them, they'd probably say, "Who's that?" And yet down deep in the mind, they know better. I can't tell you the amount of times I've walked up on a group of men, and before I got there, I heard all kinds of words. But when I stepped up into their presence, a preacher, and they knew I was a preacher, they were able to clean their language up just like that. Amazing. They know in their heart. They know in their spirit. Here's the conclusion. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light that is set on the hill. You are to deliver salt to the world. And Jesus said, if you have lost your salt, how is the world going to be salt? My doctor told me some years ago, cut down on the salt. I've got that garlic stuff. I've got that substitute stuff. And I put it on. No. Donnie, you and I agree. No, 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 no. Give me the real stuff. Jesus said, you're the real stuff. You're what gives flavor and character to this world. And if you've lost your Christian character by the way you speak when you open your mouth, then your position on the job where you work, the place where you shop, the people that you meet with, your family, your relatives, your life amounts to absolutely nothing if they hear this kind of trash and junk coming out of your mouth. Jesus said, I'm going to upgrade it here. Cut it out. Time to be salt. But let your communication, Jesus said, be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes from evil. Listen to Paul in Colossians, the last scripture. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I never heard my dad in his 82 years ever curse. And he talked to all kinds of people. He dealt with all kinds of people. He never had to use any of that to deal with anybody. I never saw him once, not one time, in 82 years of his life, ever get angry at anyone. Never. Not once. Never raised his voice. Lived a godly, righteous life before the Lord, dealing with all kinds of people. Well, I saw him get put out at least once. But he knew how to control it, you know. I tell the story. I came out of my house and he was next door, and my mother was a little cantankerous. He was trying to work in his workshop in the basement. She'd pound on the floor with a cane. Come up! Fix the thermostat. 10 minutes later, bang, bang, bang. Come up, fix the thermostat. I came out of the house. He was sitting in his Lincoln in the driveway. And I walked over and I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, peace and quiet. He didn't fly off the handle at Mom. He didn't tell her a few choice words. He just got his Bible and walked out and sat down in his car. Had some peace and quiet. He didn't slam the screen door on the way out. Amen? How many want your language to represent Jesus? The language. What does the Bible say? I think I read in there one place where it says, out of the abundance of the heart, so if you've got it in your heart, you've got to get it out of your heart, but not through your mouth, through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Washed away. How many going to start talking like Jesus? Well, I see those hands. I see a lot of hands. How many want to talk like Jesus? Talk like the Lord. Represent Him. Be salt on the earth. Amen. Stand on your feet.
Amen. Amen.